In the gospel today, the deacon just now sang, "And they that were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, for virtue went out from him and healed all." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Father De Silva, Reverend Fathers, Seminarians, and faithful. September the 26th, this year, Angel Sunday, the beginning of the month of the angels. And today we consider angels, fallen angels, demons, doctors, martyrs, witches. These are days of encroaching darkness. I mean, not just in the headlines, but in nature itself. We are faced once again with the symbolism of the stark conflict for any disciple of our Lord, that is to say, the devil. And if you stay with him, you'll certainly be in a great majority, or our Lord and the light. These ancient days of struggle against Satan, against the imposition of a Luciferian religion, are also days of victory by and with the angels. The original saints today are Saints Cyprian and Justina. Cyprian lived in Asia Minor in the 3rd century. He was raised by his parents a pagan, taught as a child to blaspheme Christ, and worse, introduced to the black arts, witchcraft. He, as a warlock or a witch himself, did not stop even at the murdering of children in order to attempt to tell the future. She, Justina, was a beautiful and a virtuous virgin, and she was a Christian, and some pagan comes along and he falls in love with her, and she won't have him because she is a Christian. So he goes to Cyprian, this pagan does, to cast a spell to make her to fall in out of love with Christ and in love with him. They say that still today in Mexico, the most popular reason for people going to witches or selling their souls to the devil, along with money and success, is just that, some sort of a love potion. She, however, knew to defeat and put the devil to flight by means of the sign of the Holy Cross. And she conquered with fasting and with prayer. St. Gregory Nazianzen says that St. Justina made a beautiful prayer. She said, "Blessed Virgin, I am a virgin too. Protect me." And she did. Cyprian, having tried his best, judging the situation, realized the weakness of his side ultimately and tried to leave Satan's service. But that's not so easy. The devils cast him into a deep depression. They brought him to the brink of despair and whispered in his ear what they always say, "You will never be forgiven." But he met a priest. He got talking with the priest, a Catholic priest, and the priest invites him to church of all things, and he comes. Now back then, the Mass was offered at dawn, and non-baptized could only stay till after the sermon, and then for the Mass of the Faithful they had to go. But he came for the first part and for the devotions that preceded it, that all-night vigil of prayer, and was so impressed. What struck him most of all was the deep reverence. He said later, "It seemed to me that these were angels and not men." Reverence. That's what it is. That's what we have along with the true Mass. Not casual informality during a friendly, man-centered service. No, it's awe and adoration with angels at the altar. So Cyprian switches sides and he's baptized. And first thing you know, they ordain him an usher, that is to say, a doorkeeper or a porter. but he ends up a priest and finally a bishop and a martyr. And Justina, seeing what Cyprian has done, Justina cuts her hair, takes the veil, consecrates herself to Christ, and the both of them together die as martyrs. We go from the Middle East next to upstate New York to Ontario, Canada. Poor, now communist Canada, from the 4th to the 17th century. But please note, nothing ever changes in history. 3rd century, 17th century, 21st century. The same situations today as yesterday, and the same rules apply. You must remember the truths about angels and fallen angels and combat for Christ. If not for your own soul, at least must you do it for the sake of the children. I used to know a priest who would often say that. He had a little bit of a tic, so he sort of adjust his glasses, and then he would clear his throat, and then he would say, well, do it for the sake of the children. And we would always smile at that. But it encloses a profound truth. When they have the children, they have won. Give me a child until he is 7, and I will show you the man. Who said that? Some say it was Aristotle, and others say it was St. Ignatius, founder of the Jesuits. That is a great truth. Today is the feast day of the 8 North American martyrs. The first of them died as a martyr. He was not a priest, he was a doctor. He was trained in France. He wanted to be a Jesuit, but his hearing was bad, so he was rejected. But he gave of himself. He's called what they call a donné. He donated himself and his services as a worker without pay, and his name is St. René Goupil. St. Isaac Jogues called him an angel of innocence, so gentle and patient, such a good man, so meek, as he took care of the sick. The Indians, who were quite the opposite, despised him for that. He was captured along with Isaac Jogues in upstate New York by the Iroquois, tortured and enslaved, made to run the gauntlet of 200 warriors, and then they chopped off some of his fingers at the joint and his face beaten to where he was not recognizable. His wounds were crawling with worms. Now, back in those days, remember, the Jesuits were angels and not devils. One day, as a slave, he happened to be outside with a little Indian child, and he was playing a bit with the boy and with his cap, and the child was laughing delightedly. So almost automatically, the doctor traces the sign of the cross on the child's forehead, the way the French still to this day bless their children. The grandfather, coming upon that scene, is furious, enraged by the sign of salvation. The Dutch traders, who were Calvinists or Protestants, had warned the Indians not to let the black robes make that cursed sign over themselves or their children, because it was indeed a curse. The Dutch traded with the Indians, the English fought with them and killed them, but no Protestants ever tried to save their souls. So a brave arrives with a tomahawk and dispatches our saint to heaven, an angel of innocence and charity. He died on the 29th, on the feast day of St. Michael, the archangel, 1642. This angel Sunday, and throughout their month, let anyone who loves Christ and who loves children, parents or grandparents, teachers, priests, all kinds, let every Catholic realize that Satan is set on our destruction. He is more determined than even the Democrats, the Catholic Democrats, are to kill babies up to the very moment of birth. It is a death cult they set up in our midst, satanic. And the deaths will only increase with time and injections. Doctors and nurses who refuse are fired, but the idea finally is death for souls. So, know the enemy, know thyself, know your weapons, know the master's ways, I mean the oligarchs, know our Lord's ways. The devil is the ape of God. We have prayer, the formula, the sign of the cross. Do you ever make that over your children or grandchildren? We have the sacraments and the sacramentals. Do you keep and use holy water in the home? And of course, the rosary, the St. Benedict medal, the blessed palm cross. We have silence and prayer. We have humility and charity. Try to practice those virtues on purpose. The devil, remember, he is an angel, fallen though he be. If he is called, he always comes. So the devil has incantations and invocations and injections. And he has lies, repeated lies. His is a world of noise and confusion, but also of mesmerizing music, of foul speech, curses, anger and revenge. Signs, too, that they make with their hands in Masonic handshake and different things with the fingers. We have holy water. They have fire water. Consider the huge increase in alcohol consumption and in alcoholics during the time of the lockdowns last year. They're doing to the general populace what once was done to the Indians, that is to say, to keep them enslaved by means of liquor and also by means of free government money. But it is not joy, but depression and isolation and alienation that Satan offers that your government is working to bring to you and to abolish the very concept of truth, which has been subverted. Do not, however, think that if you serve the devil, it's all sort of fun and games. It's true, broad is the road that leads to destruction, to hell. But if you stay with Satan, you will make sacrifices to him as well as for him. You have to give up your sleep and, of course, your health and maybe your life. You will be inured to suffering. You have to be sort of stoic as you inflict and suffer pain, perverse, heartless, and cruel. You have to hate yourself and finally your soul. The Indians were Stoics. They highly valued bravery, the imposition or the endurance of ritualized torture. Like the Romans, the pagans of old, the Iroquois would devise incredibly cruel torments, so chewing the captives' nails off, things like that, baptizing them with boiling water, blasphemously. And you wonder, how could, well, they were savages, how could they do that? How about civilized Romans of such a great culture of old? Satan and his service. But only one thing the devil cannot bear, nor will he ever allow it to his followers. They may not indulge innocence, purity, modesty, virginity, joined with sweet humility of a little child. That must be destroyed. Satan knows only license and lust and liberty, liberty until you're enslaved, and then it's tyranny for all those who oppose his upside-down world. Saturated with sin, enough to make the pagan Romans and the wild Iroquois blush and turn away in disgust. And we today we do as our good Jesus once did. We turn away from the scene of sin and we call into our midst a little child to bless him with the sign of the cross and to call upon him the protection of his angel. We may be surrounded by demons in this world of ours, but never forget the angels. Called, they will always come. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.